Are you thinking about buying or selling a home, or want to know what might be going on with one of your biggest investments? Then come hang out with us for a little while. Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall, and welcome to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Our local sponsors are Bricks Real Estate, Network Title, Eric Bloomstrad and Chad Preby with Bell Bank Mortgage, Structure Tech Home Inspections, James Tufson with Country Financial, along with Cregan's Construction and Gray Duck Staging and Design. No matter what you might be listening to or watching us on right now, we are also available on many other platforms. You can catch us Saturday mornings on the CW23 at 6:30 or KSTC Channel 45, Saturdays at 6, AM 950, Sundays at noon, or on YouTube by typing in Twin Cities Real Estate Show into the search. Our Facebook page as well, just type in Twin Cities Real Estate Show, or if you want to catch us on our podcast, just search Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Don't forget to check us out online anytime at TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. There you can find all of our past shows, our weekly market updates, along with the latest and greatest searching and researching tools, and our free publications to include the Smart Home Buyer Guide and the Smart Seller Guide, along with the Bricks Report. All of these free for you. If you have any real estate questions, please feel free to give us a call, 651-303-0019. Again, 651-303-0019. Happy to help answer any of your real estate questions or assist with your real estate needs. Thank you for joining us today. I'd like to welcome in studio again one of our regular guests, Jillie Jenkins. Thank
Hello.
You for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
And Chad Preby, a wonderful co-host.
Yeah, thank you. Good to see you guys.
Yeah.
You as well. Yeah, got the holidays coming up here soon.
That's exciting stuff.
It's been running. Everyone's running.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Expect to see you guys in here next week, though.
I'll be here.
All right. So
today,
we are going to be talking about housing styles here in the Twin Cities and the pros and cons in our next segment. But first, we're going to dive into a little bit of the real estate news kind of post-Thanksgiving week here. So, yeah, let's jump into that. New listings into the marketplace did jump up. So Thanksgiving week, that was at 503 listings coming into the marketplace. That's 13 county metro area. And that jumped up to 860. So pretty close to where we were last year at this time, which was like 869 mm-hmm. listings coming in. So very normal pace coming in after Thanksgiving. What are we seeing as far as pendings?
Well, pending is down year over end. We're down over 12%, which is quite a bit.
Yep.
And we talked about this earlier. Inventory is very low.
Yes.
That's kind of causing that issue. But it has jumped up quite a bit from last week, at least, or a little bit from last week. Like you said, that's just the general after a holiday situation.
Yep.
You're going to have the inventory and pending go up after a holiday.
Yeah, and in Thanksgiving and New Year's. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving and New Year's are two of the biggest jumps that we typically see post-holiday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a seller out there timing this out, you may want to consider, you know, we're kind of getting close to the Christmas time of just waiting at this point until post-holiday. Yeah. So, yeah, talking about pending sales tracking behind by 12%, that brings us to inventory of homes, which dropped a lot.
Yeah.
and that's been...
It has been all year.
Yeah. We've been tracking behind. We're down our 3 months running total, 12.8%. But just week over week, we went from 6,782 listings here in the 13-county metro to 6,297, and we've been kind of seeing that 300 to 500 drop week by week by week, which is going to put some strain on buyers out there. But right. I mean, good news for sellers. I know days on market are pretty flat over last week, but what are we tracking at for that right now?
For days on market?
Yes.
For days on market right now, we're looking at about 27-ish
yes.
days on market as the norm. Last year was 35, so it is moving faster, and
yeah.
inventory is lower. There's less options.
I think the comfort levels, too, of buyers out there, a little more certainty with jobs and stuff. What are you noticing as far as mortgage rate trends?
Yeah, mortgage rates are holding steady. I mean, we're still in a very good environment. I know two main topics that I've been talking about a lot lately is inflation and COVID.
Yeah.
You know, but that being said, mortgage rates are staying down. We're still just a little above the historic lows. So when you guys talk about low inventory, I do want to just hit something real quick. It's never too early to start the process. If you are in the market to buy a home or even sell a home, get your team prepared sooner than later so you're successful.
Well, I know one big myth out there is, you know, people, they don't want to reach out to a lender because they apply, they think their credit's going to get destroyed, you
right.
know.
Big
and honestly, the gains that you get by applying right away far outweigh any credit impacts because you can sit there and figure out things about your finances, what things to pay off to actually get yourself into a better interest rate, ultimately.
For sure.
Put yourself into a maybe better down payment, which then again, better interest rate, or things that help your credit score, which then get you a better interest rate. So all of those play into that. So ultimately, showings per listing activity did drop back because of that snowstorm that we had.
Yeah.
That definitely played into it. So we were at, like, I think it was like a 4.17 or something like that, down to a 3.99 for average showings per listing per week.
And that's
250. Low. Yeah, it's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's playing into the market meter, which ultimately dropped back as well. So our market meter went from a 6.76 to a 6.56. This is still hovering in that seller's market range. As always, if you want more data on what the market is doing, you can go to TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com and see our market updates there. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hi, I'm Ruben with Structure Tech Home Inspections. Everyone knows you should have a home inspection before you buy a home, but we've heard of home buyers being encouraged to skip the home inspection in this crazy market to make their purchase offer more attractive. Now they're facing tens of thousands of dollars in unexpected repairs. I'm telling you now, don't skip the home inspection. Here at Structure Tech, we can get your home inspected quickly, and we offer a full line of services. Visit us online at structuretech.com to learn more.
Don't fall for the billboards or the clickbait. There is no such thing as today's rate. Mortgages and mortgage rates are individual to you. Chad Preby and Eric Bloomstrand with Bell Bank Mortgage are here to show you the formula to get your best rate. Once you know this formula, you can mortgage shop with confidence. Find us online at chadpreby.com. That is chadpreby.com. NMLS 1462493, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate and the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Buying or selling a home is one of the biggest financial transactions people make. Before you make your next move, download our free Smart Home Buyer or Smart Seller guides to give you the edge in our real estate market. From deal hunting to knowing the right repairs for maximizing value, these free guides have it all. Check them out and more at BricksTwinCities.com under publications. Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show here with Jilly Jenkins and Chad Preby. Today we're going to be talking about housing styles here in the Twin Cities and some of the pros and cons with those, because everybody has different needs, different desires, what they want to get out of house, a functionality of a home. And so I thought I would kind of break down some of what you'll find around the Twin Cities. First of all, I'll give the disclaimer here. I know some way, somehow, I'm going to offend somebody who owns a particular style of home. We're going to try to be fair, though, and point out the pros and cons, because every home, again, they have their pros, they have their cons for different people.
Yeah, it fits the buyer. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Style of home is very needed to understand how it's going to help you and how it's going to hurt you in buying it.
Yeah, right. Not every home is going to work for every buyer. So that, you know, if we're saying something that you might find negative about the home that you own or a style, you know, keep in mind there's the positives and there's the reasons you're there too. So let's just start right out of the gate. Some of the first styles of homes that we saw here in the Twin Cities, at least in bigger production. So think of this as like the wedding cake, right? That the Twin Cities is built out in layers.
Mm-hmm.
And so real close in to both the downtowns, that's where you're going to find the oldest homes,
yep.
right? For the most part, the very first developments, right, yeah. outside of the farmhouses. Okay. And so there you're going to find kind of, you know, your Victorian era homes and like four square designs. So I'm kind of thinking here, you know, your big old two-story houses.
I love Victorians. It's kind of hard to find them with the like all the ornate decorative wood that used to be there. A lot of it has rotten off at this point, but you can still find some gems that they've been preserved and just beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
That might not be someone's style to have it be as busy, because Victorian is busy.
Yep.
Very detailed. I mean, that's why after Victorian moving into Craftsman, it went the opposite direction, where it was like sleek lines. Minimalism.
Yeah, yep. Very much so.
Victorian is busy.
A lot of people didn't realize that the Victorian homes, they were mass manufactured. So this ornateness was you know, carved out in huge production, in a sense, for the most part, right? Okay. I mean, there would be some personal touches that could be done. But, yeah, for the most part, they were kind of all put together.
Pretty grand.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Summit Hill neighborhood's perfect if you want to see some really cool ones or, beginning parts of South Minneapolis.
I feel like St. Paul has the winning amount of Victorians. Don't you? There's more Victorians in St. Paul.
I'm not gonna make
Highland
a statement
area
on that.
Too. Okay.
I like driving around looking at houses, especially in St. Paul. For some reason,
I feel like there's
out
more there.
Too.
And St. Paul came before Minneapolis area, so like Kirk said, that kind of adds to
it. Some of the pros here is that architecture, that style, right? It's kind of interesting here, you know, with these homes, you'll find sometimes those bigger bedrooms upstairs, sometimes the bigger closets
Victorians
upstairs.
Have the big closets, and then you kind of get smaller as you move forward into the Craftsman era.
And, you know, some of the pitfalls would be kind of just the age. You mentioned that a lot of these homes, you know, may have the woodwork that's rotting or, you know, lack there of insulation. Right. They're the stone.
Dry rot.
Yep.
In the joists.
Stone basements that kind of permeate water a little bit.
They're never going to be dry.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And they were never meant to be. They weren't designed in that fashion.
It wasn't supposed to be a finished space.
So I always tell people if, you know, I come across a home like that and they're like, what do you do with a basement like this? I say, well, you know, throw up some rough cut cedar and turn it into wine storage or something like that.
Yeah, really.
So kind of moving on, you kind of mentioned already kind of the Craftsman area, Craftsman era. So, yeah, the Victorian kind of went into the four square. Four square was just a little bit toned down on some of the ornateness to the property, but still very similar layouts. So that was kind of, you know, when you get into the early 1900s to, you know, that 1915 range, 1920, that's when you see it roll over into that Craftsman style.
Tudor.
And Tudor.
Yeah.
That is correct, yeah. And so there, much more efficiency, you know, thought about. A lot smaller homes for the most part.
They were more practical, right?
Yep.
Rather than ornate and grand.
Right.
I do love all the wood finishes you're going to find in a Craftsman or a Tudor. Tudor, a lot of stonework. Craftsman was sleek and simple. I guess that kind of led into mid-century modern eventually, right?
Eventually,
I own a Craftsman. Love them. They were probably one of the most mass-produced in our metro, Craftsman era.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially, again, you get to your Macrove, your Highland, your Longfellow, you know, just kind of a lot of South Minneapolis in general, that style, along with the Tudors. They kind of went side by side.
Kind of because it's like over time, those lots got split up. Mm-hmm. So you'll have like a Craftsman, and then you'll have like a Tudor next door, and then you'll have like a 50s just, you know, cookie cutter home that was mass produced.
Yeah.
So
when,
it's like got broke up over time.
When talking about, you know, Craftsmen, you know, they really, you have the Craftsman 1.5 story. Some of these were originally designed as one story, and then eventually they finished off the attic. You know, most of them, it's walk-in, and it's a kitchen dining connected to each other, usually with like a built-in buffet or at one time.
Some sort of bookshelves with woodwork going up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To separate the spaces.
Yep. And yeah, sometimes those will be moved out at this point.
They'll be removed, a lot of them, yep.
So that flows through to the kitchen. Sometimes, again, you'll see people open that space up. But yeah, not really big kitchens in comparison to that Foursquare or Victorian.
Right? And Craftsman was kind of hard because the buffets usually are built into the other side of the kitchen. So in order for you to make a bigger kitchen or open up that space like we kind of have for modern living right now, you're going to lose historical value by taking out beautiful built-in hutch, you know, buffet.
Yeah. I have seen people shift it to one of the
window.
Well, if there's a spot to do that, mm-hmm. to cure for that. So yeah, most of the homes, it goes from the living to the dining to the kitchen, and then off to one side or the other, you're going to have a hallway where there's going to be a bathroom in the middle, usually, and two bedrooms, right? And very efficient size bedrooms is the best way to put it, right?
And efficient size closets, and just everything was toned down during the Craftsman era.
Yep.
And bungalow, you hear the word bungalow, that's going to be
basically the same thing.
Yep, with Craftsman.
Yep.
I really like the woodworking.
Yeah.
And the Victorian or the Craftsman style homes.
Yeah, well, and kind of the next generation after that, I'm going to finish up with the Tudor piece, is the Tudors, they did open it up a little more. You know, you'll see a few more square feet dedicated, usually, into some of these spaces.
To
a
the
little more
spaces.
Architecture. Yeah, exactly.
I love the architecture of a Tudor.
They're great. I actually just listed one. Got under contract over on Saratoga and St. Paul. So yeah, I mean they're definitely sought after.
People that buy Tudors are Tudor people, in my experience for clients.
Yeah. Like they know
that
know what
is
they want.
Their style. Mm-hmm.
So from that, yeah, you have this great woodwork in the Victorians, toned back a little bit for the Foursquares, kind of comes back in the Craftsman and Tudors. And then we take a break for a little while, right?
Yeah.
That you get into kind of the war era story and a half.
Mass production.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it really, your trim work is much more neutral, I guess is the best way to put it. A lot of these homes, the story and a half, they don't have any dining space dedicated
it's
for the
so
most part.
It's so odd. And I have a lot of clients that, price range wise, sometimes a lower price range is going to not have that that dining room space. And my clients always ask, where did they eat?
An eat-in kitchen. And I've heard, you know, when you get into the 50s with the Ramblers and small dining rooms, the idea was, well, now that they have TV and everybody eats around the TV and the TV trays, microwavable meals.
That's true.
There's no need for a dining room, right?
Yeah.
But that obviously didn't pan out in the way that the architects thought at that time. So, yeah, your story and a half, so, I mean, again, very efficient homes. You know, the spaces are, there's really not much for a waste of space in those houses. Also, this one you usually have, and similar to Craftsman, if it's a story and a half, you're going to have that bedroom up, one bedroom up.
Usually
most of the time.
Usually a larger kind of
the master bed.
Lofted area almost. Yeah.
And then on the main, you're going to have the two other bedrooms. And that's very
small,
very same for the kind of war era homes as well. A lot of people, they may not like this style, especially if they're taller, because it can be a little bit of a neck bender.
I have a client right now that's like 6'5", and we had to take 1.5 stories off of his search.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
It just, he can't stand
one
up.
Fit.
Yeah.
And ceiling height's important to consider because, you know, when you're talking about those Victorians, you're not going to really have much in the basement. So, again, and that space wasn't really meant to be livable. Same with the Craftsman and Tudor. Again, these homes weren't built to have finished basements, so the ceiling height down there is low.
Yeah.
It's not until you get to those war-era homes or the 50s Ramblers that you start to see a little bit higher ceilings, but still not the same height as the ceilings today. So that's kind of the next style of home that you see. Now we're getting out. We're getting to that that very edges of the cities, far south Minneapolis, up towards Columbia Heights, out towards St. Louis Park. This is where the Ramblers are starting to come in, right? And if you push out a little bit farther into the more expensive areas of the time, that's where you're going to see the mid-century moderns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, you will find them scattered around in the other places as well, but you'll find larger clusters. And just think of a mid-century modern as a more glorified 50s Rambler in a sense, right? They're just a little bit larger spaces, more open.
A little bit more open floor plan, like you said, a little bit more grand, right?
Yep.
With vaulted, maybe a little more vaulted in some of the mid-century modern ones. Like Frank Lloyd Wright, right? That's what everyone thinks when they think of like quintessential classic mid-century modern, but it really can span greatly from that style. I like the openness of mid-century modern Ramblers.
Oh, they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to pay a premium for those mid-century moderns out there, that's for sure. So, you know, talking about functionality, we mentioned the, you know, like with the story and a half, one bedroom up and two bedrooms on the main, you know, depending on somebody's situation with the people living with them, they may want all the bedrooms on one level. So that's something to consider. Hey, does this layout even work for you? Or, you know, some people want a main floor bedroom, which you're not usually going to find in that Victorian or four square layout, right?
Nope, so they're upstairs.
Just things to consider as you're thinking about these different styles. Going back to the Rambler, you know, it is that one level living design in a sense, right? You're going to have usually the three bedrooms on one level, along with your dining and kitchen and living.
And then
a rumpus room
downstairs.
Yeah.
Where there was like a bar set up and it was meant for hosting downstairs in the basement.
Oh, yes.
The parties.
Yeah, usable basements is kind of right, Kirk. That's kind of when we
started seeing usable
wrong.
Basements. That's where we went wrong on our holiday party. We should have been having the poker table set up downstairs.
Right.
Yeah, that would have been good.
I remember when I was a little kid, we'd go over to my grandparents for the holidays, and all the uncles and stuff would be in the basement, you know, smoking cigars and playing poker. Yeah. You know, you couldn't go downstairs. That was the adult room, you know. So, but I find it fascinating, like, My grandparents, 10 brothers and sisters my mom has, and they all fit into a three-bedroom Craftsman.
Yeah.
You know, not far from the office here. And they made it work, you know. They had some bad days and some good days, but they made it work. That's pretty amazing.
So those 50s Ramblers, built like tanks. They last. Yeah. They last and last, that's
metal
for sure.
Metal I-beam. Love seeing them.
Kind of the next thing that came into play was the split entry homes.
Yep.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. And there are a lot of people who say, I don't ever want to get a split level, right? And then they come out and I don't want a split level because I have to go up and down stairs right away. It's like, well, there are positives to that, because you have a more open layout. You can have that open kitchen, dining, living, because you don't have the load-bearing beam that you're going to need across there. And so that's why you can have that in that two-level split. And also, if you don't like the stairs up and down right away, you can go with a side entry split level where they have a little more space dedicated to that. Along those lines, you also have the 3 and 4 level splits, which
can end up being a bit of a maze almost walking through them. It keeps going.
Yeah.
The house just keeps going.
But I'll say, for entertaining, those are great because they have good separation of spaces. You can have, you know, kids playing in one area, the uncle's playing poker in another, and people in the kitchen, people in the living, all sorts of different.
Split levels are interesting because it does have a separation of space, but it's not compartmentalized like we've talked about with, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's open, but it's still separate. It's interesting. It's kind of a nice blend.
Right. I mean, in going to, and this is kind of along the lines of the four square, it's just kind of the full-blown two-story, right? Mm-hmm. That, I mean, the style's been around for, you know, since the 1800s, but, you know, most of these, up until the recent homes, you had to have that beam, again, they had to separate out each one of those rooms, where that 3 or 4 level split doesn't have to do that as much. And then you get kind of the mix, we were talking about this before, which is the modified two-story, right? This is taking a four-level split, adding a few more stairs to get the bedrooms up above the garage, which just creates, you can do like vaulted ceilings then in that living, dining, kitchen area.
Yep.
But as you can see, there's just a ton of different options here in the Twin Cities that work for people. We covered some of the pros and cons of each of those layouts. We have more. If you want to know about this, go to TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Not every title company is the same. There are many people involved with each real estate transaction, and all of them need to be in the loop or a closing may get delayed. This is why the people at Network Title strive to provide swift scheduling and communication between the buyers, sellers, agents, and lenders. We know moving can be stressful, however, your closing does not need to be. Check us out online at network-title.com.
My name is James Tobson with Country Financial. Anyone can sell you insurance, however, is it going to be the insurance you need? When life pops up with its surprises, you want the right coverage. When it comes time to find or renew your policy, give me a call. I would love to review your existing policy and show you what I can do for you. You can email me at james.tobson@countryfinancial.com or give me a call at 651-365-3408.
Hi, I'm Becca, owner of Grey Duck Staging. With today's home buyers beginning their journey exclusively online, the look and feel of your home matters more than ever. Whether it's a simple in-home consultation, a refresh using your current furniture, or a whole home staging, our goal is always the same: showing your home in the best light and helping you achieve the highest sales price possible. To learn more, visit us at greyduckstaging.com or check us out on Instagram at greyduckstaging.
Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Hopefully you enjoyed our segment there on home styles in the Twin Cities. As always, you can catch all of our past shows at twincitiesrealestateshow.com. Or if you have any questions for us, please feel free to reach out. Got the phone number down below. Happy to help with any of your real estate needs. Today we're going to highlight a listing from Paula Anderson at Bricks Real Estate. This is 1380 Eugenia Way there in Waconia. This is a three-bed, two-bath, new construction home with a three-car garage. So this is completed new construction, move-in ready. I know the builder delays out there right now are pretty long. This is at 425. So yeah, you can get this home, move in, don't have to wait for a build. So not a spec home. It is one of only two walkout lots in the development. Tons of upgrades, from appliances to window coverings. Check that out again, Paula Anderson.
That sounds nice.
That's an upcoming area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, well, for stats looking towards a new year, Kirk, I know you're the numbers master. Right now, we're still in a seller's market. Is it going to get stronger after the first?
Yeah, it will. Yeah. Again, like I mentioned, if you can hold out for sellers, it's going to pick up for buyers. If you can capture a deal now, do it. Hopefully you found this helpful. We'll be back again next week, everybody.
People always ask realtors, what is your commission? But what they should be asking is, what is your rate of return? Commissions only vary by a couple of percent from agent to agent. However, the price per square foot you get just based on their experience and the quality of marketing they use can vary by 10% or more. At Bricks Real Estate, our agents use the right marketing and have the experience to get you top dollar for your house. See what we can do for you at BricksTwinCities.com.
Not every title company is the same. There are many people involved with each real estate transaction, and all of them need to be in the loop or a closing may get delayed. This is why the people at Network Title strive to provide swift scheduling and communication between the buyers, sellers, agents, and lenders. We know moving can be stressful, however, your closing does not need to be. Check us out online at network-title.com.